Thank you, Deacon. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, if you sang that song, Victory in Jesus, and you sang it right, it's equivalent to running 5 miles. If you sang it right, it's equivalent. You burn the same amount of calories as you do on a 5 mile run. That's probably not totally accurate, but you get the logistics of it, right? You need to be moving, heart beating a little bit fast. A little excitement in the air. Amen. Hey, listen, y'all been cooped up. I ought not have to pull this out at all today. Y'all ought to be primed and pump ought to be ready to throw out some water. Amen. Well, today we're going to start by looking at a familiar passage of Scripture. As I've already said, Happy Father's Day. And since how it's Father's Day, now this is something in this for everybody. But I'm kind of really aiming in on our dads today. For all of you who are already dads, and for those of you who are like our son, who in 97 days, Mark Young, will be a dad. Amen. Woo! Come on, baby. Pink camouflage is in order. Amen? Or maybe you're a person who's contemplating being a dad someday. This message is for you. Do you remember when God called to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9? He asked the question, "Where are you?" The Bible says he called to the man. Yes, I believe Adam knew he was a man. And God called to Adam. Do you know why he called to Adam instead of Eve? He was calling Adam because Adam was the leader that had failed. To those men, especially fathers, abandoning their families or failing to lead spiritually, God also says, "Where are you? Where are you? Step up and be the man I created you to be." So I ask you the question as the title goes, dads, where are you? I used to love playing hide-and-go-seek when I was a little boy. The problem is some of our dads has went in hiding, and they can't be found. They've went in hiding so deep, we're asking the question in America today, dads, where are you? Where are you? Do you think for a moment, for those of you who grew up with a dad like my dad, that all the nonsense you see going on in the world with the looting, the riots, the fires, the stealing, do you think for a minute if all dads in America had truly been dads, that would be happening? No. I tell you right now, if Daddy ever saw me, how old am I, Cindy? Where is she? I forgot how. I was born in 64. You do the math. I'm old enough to know better, even at that age, to be on TV setting fires to buildings and stealing stuff, and my daddy'd be up here grabbing me by the head and leading me to the truck. Dads, where are you? Luke 15, 11 through 32 will be our text today. While you're turning there and getting ready for that, what's the definition of a father? Well, a father, we've said this before, but it bears repeating. A father is a man who carries photographs where his money used to be. One boy said, "My father's a strange guy. He's allergic to cotton. He has pills he can take, but he can't get them out of the bottle." You'll get that going home. It's been said that Father's Day is a whole lot like Mother's Day. You just spend a whole lot less money. You ever noticed? It's always amazed me that on Mother's Day, it's flowers, cards, dining out, and gifts, right? That's the custom for Mother's Day. Father's Day, you get this. Where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? But in all seriousness, these are not, here in 2020, these are not good days for our dads. In our day, the children are not leaving the dads as much as the dads have left the home, as much as the dads have left the children. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, over the last 4 decades, there's been a dramatic increase in the number of children growing up in the homes without dads. Now, I told you I was born in 64, but if you go back 4 years prior to that, Angie, in 1960, less than 10 million children did not live with their fathers. Fast forward to 2020, we've tripled that. We've tripled that. Today, the number is 25 to 30 million. Wrap your head around that just for a moment. 25 to 30 million. More than one-third of these children will not see their fathers at all in the duration of 12 months. Over a third of them won't see their dads in 12 months. Studies show that children who grow up with responsible dads are more likely to experience, who grow up without responsible dads are more likely to experience poverty, to perform poorly in school, to engage in criminal activity, to abuse drugs and alcohol. Dads, where are you? Where are you? More than 24 million children in the United States grow up without their biological dad in the home. That should break our hearts. 7 out of every 10 African American children are born into a home without the biological dad. 70%. Being raised by a single parent. The results of these numbers are drug addictions, poverty, dropouts, suicide. As a matter of fact, 63% of the youth who take their life had no father in the home. 63%. 90% of the homeless people are that way because there was no father in the home. 80% of the young rapists grew up with no father in the home. 71% of school dropouts had no father in the home. 70% of juvenile delinquents had no father in the home. You see a common denominator. 94% of prisoners in jail had no father in the home. This creates all kinds of problems, folks. All kinds of problems. Problems like we've got a generation of young ladies. They're looking around today and ain't nobody to marry. The ones that's available ain't worth marrying. There are a lot of young boys today looking for a male leader to be a role model because they're not seeing it at home. Some young women are looking for a man that they can grow old with and be married. They're having a hard time finding that person. It's been said that a lot of our problems today are not coming from the White House, but it's coming from our own house. Our own house. White House has got its own problems. But I'm telling you, folks, if you want to see this world change, start with the dads. Start with the leader of the home that God has put in that position. I didn't do that. God did. Start with him, and you watch things turn around. If you're here today and you're a male, yes, I believe you're either male or female, and that is decided at birth. That's not something you decide when you feel like playing with a truck when you're a girl and call yourself a boy, or feel like playing with a doll and call yourself a girl. I believe it's decided at birth when the doctor says, it's a boy, that's it, that's what you got. It's a girl, that's it, that's what you got. You don't have the freedom. God don't make mistakes, folks. You don't have the right to get up there on your high horse and talk about how you got, this is my body. And if I feel like a woman like Shania Twain, I can be a woman today. I can go out here and use the women's restroom. No, you can't, not in this church. If I catch you, man, in a women's restroom here, we'll have a talk. We'll have counseling 101. I hope every male that is here today and that's watching by live stream realize that the best that you'll ever be is a male until God teaches you how to be a man. God has to teach you how to be a man. I was born a male, but I wasn't born a man. I had to grow into being a man. I had to learn how to be a man. It does come with the instruction book. It's right here. Amen. Amen. It does come with instructions, just like raising your children. But the sad thing is, a lot of women today are married to males who have never matured into men. Yeah, I know you men are going, wow, dude, lighten up. Hey, I'm one myself. Maybe you're a man here today and you have never had a dad to tell you, I love you. You've never had a dad to tell you you're special. Okay, let me just say this. You've got the right to break that tradition. You have the right to start in your family with your children, giving them something that you didn't have. You don't have to be a bum. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a punk because you was denied those privileges as a kid in the home. You don't have to demonstrate your manlyhood by seeing how many women you can get pregnant. Did he say that out loud? Yep. So what we have here is a bunch of male figures just kind of learning as they go. There's a desperate need today, I believe, for men to be, to get back to what God says a man is. Biblical manhood. You know, people think, be a Christian, you got to be a wimp. Well, won't you come on, be a Christian, you'll see. Some of the manliest men I know are Christians. Some of the manliest men I know are Christians. We have a generation of dads today who don't care for the children. They don't pay child support. They've got a term called deadbeat dads. They don't visit their kids. Some don't know how many kids they even got scattered throughout the world. Luke 15. That was all intro. Luke 15. I've been waiting a long time for y'all to get back. I don't know what time you'll get out. They did find room for the clock. Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed swine. So he became a pig farmer. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, it indicates here, you know, I can just foresee, well, I'm looking for a new rocking chair for my grandbaby. And I'm getting all strung out on this. I got 97 days to find a rocking chair. So if you got any good ideas where I can find a good rocking chair, let me know. I can just visualize this daddy, Mark Young, sitting on his front porch every day, looking over at his wife and said, this might be the day he comes back. This might be the day our son comes back. How do you visualize that? Because the Bible says his father saw him. So he had to be looking for him, right? And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, look, the father stopped him. He had rehearsed everything he was going to say, Jack, to his daddy. He had rehearsed it line for line, and he had a big paragraph he was going to spill all over daddy, and daddy interrupts him and says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. I kind of find that hard to believe. You gonna stand there and tell me you ain't never done something your daddy told you not to do? I'll remind you, you in church. He said, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Wah, wah, wah. But as soon as this son of yours, didn't even call him his brother, as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, that's prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, now he's found. I love that story. It just never gets old. It never gets old. And all I want to do is just give you some friendly reminders today as dads. The parable of the prodigal son is one of the greatest and most beloved stories in Scripture. The word prodigal means to recklessly be extravagant. It means to have wasteful spending, living lavishly. A person with these characteristics would turn most people away, wouldn't they? But God loves and reaches out to all men. He loves all men. Even those who are wasteful and irresponsible, he runs to embrace any prodigal son who repents and returns home. He does so with open arms. I had the privilege of leading a young man to the Lord yesterday, and I asked for his permission. We've had three people saved in the last 4 weeks. Boop, 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 boop. Praise God. And I asked for permission today to share the good news. He said, you can shout it from the rooftop, preacher. I said, so you don't care if I give out your name? Not at all. How many of y'all remember Vernon Coulter? How many of y'all know his son, Michael? Michael got saved yesterday. Praise God. God welcomed him, Jack Brown, with open arms. Open arms. Now, I got permission, so don't y'all be saying that was private. When I share something like that, I've asked for permission, okay? Don't look at me like that. I don't know why you'd want to keep that a secret anyway. God forgives his prodigal son, and he restores him no matter how terrible the sin, no matter how terrible the failure in life has been. We call this story the parable of the prodigal son, but you know what it also could be called? It could be called the parable of the loving father. Because I want us today not to put our focus on the son leaving and the mess he made of his life. I want us, because we all may have children someday who do just that. I want us as dads to focus on dad in this story. What he coulda, shoulda, and was, and what he did in this very moment with his son that went AWOL. So we could call it the parable of the loving father, because it emphasizes the graciousness of the dad more than it did the sinfulness of the son. So let's look at the characteristics of the prodigal son. First of all, we see he was self-absorbed. What's that mean? Well, he rejected his father's government, his leadership. He rejected what his daddy told him to do. He didn't want to live by his daddy's rules no more. Ever been there? Woo! Yeah, buddy. Didn't want to live by his rules. You ever hear this? You lived at home, men? Ain't enough room in this house but for one man. And if you're going to live here, you're looking at the man. You ever hear that? Yeah, I heard it. I think I might have said it to my son. He knew more than his father did. I got all these youth when I was a youth pastor, and every time I go through this passage of Scripture, I think about a young man that was in Florida in my youth group. His daddy was a disciplinarian. He was pretty strict. Neil, he told his daddy, he said, I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I'm going to the Marines. Hey, okay, go on. Go on with your bad self. See how that works out for you. Drop me a postcard. I'll be praying for you. When that guy gets up there, ain't no social distancing. He's up in your grill, buddy, spitting all over you when he's talking to you. He was self-absorbed. He was also short-sighted. He didn't want a delayed gratification. He wanted it all now. One of the things you as young dads have to remember when you're trying to get everything your dad has got, look at his age and look at yours. You may not get it all right now. You look at a couple that's been married 50 years and what they've invested in life together, and they've got. When you're married 5 years, don't try to compete with them. He was surrendered. He was willing to surrender his legal position as son. Now, do you know these same characteristics today are seen in the prodigal dad in America today? Watch this. First of all, dads don't have to physically leave to be absent in the home. Dad, you can be occupying a seat at the kitchen table and still not be there. You can be occupying a seat on the lawnmower out in the yard, but still not be there. Characteristics of the prodigal dad today. Let's use the same one, self-absorbed. They seek their own pleasure. They give their best, they give all they've got to their golfing, to their hunting, to their fishing, to their working, to their farming, or to their sports. And they give the family the rest, the leftovers. Prodigal dads today in America are short-sighted. They live for today. They live for today. They're surrendered also. They relinquish their role as father, physically, emotionally, allowing all the other, mainly the mothers of the family, to raise the children. There was a feminist, Gloria Steinem, who said these words. She said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. That'll bless your heart, won't it? You know what I say, Shane? I say this, children need a dad like a fish needs water. You ever seen a fish out of water? That's a home without a dad. Roughly 70% of those in jail, 70% of those locked up have little or no interaction with their dads. There's a book titled My Father's Face. The author is James Robinson. He tells of a federal prison chaplain who decided to improve the morale in the penitentiary. So the clergyman approached a major greeting card company and he asked for a donation of 500 Mother's Day cards, one for each inmate. Spotting a good PR story, when they see it, the company agreed. Each inmate received a card, filled it out, sent it to his mom on Mother's Day from the penitentiary. And morale did pick up. So on Father's Day, the chaplain decided to duplicate his previous success. Again, he went to the greeting card company. Again, they agreed to donate 500 cards. But guess what happened this time? Doug, the project crashed and burned. Not a single inmate, not one, wrote a Father's Day card to their dad. Not one. So what are some characteristics, Pastor? You said at the beginning, you wish we would all go back to the biblical role of manhood and what God says a real man is. What are the characteristics? What are we to look for? Young ladies, let's just stop being a dad just for a second. If you're looking for a man, these are great characteristics to be looking for. Let alone being your father of your child, just to be your husband. These are great biblical characteristics that you need to be taking note of today. So we're going to use the word father, and we're going to go down each letter and make it easy for you to remember. The first word, F, it needs to be forgiving. You ever seen somebody before that just wasn't a forgiving person? I mean, you got one chance at it. You cross them one time. You may have years of love with these people, and you crossed them one time, and you didn't even know you crossed them. You didn't even know what you did upset them, but they marked you off. You ever had that happen to you in your lifetime? You got to walk on eggshells when you're around them. You got to be very careful because you don't want to tip them off. Because if you tip them off, they won't come back. Notice in the story, the father forgave his son not in a week, not in a month, not in a trial basis. You come back and I'll keep you on probation. No, he forgave him, the Bible says, immediately. Immediately. He didn't delay. He celebrated his son's return, Joey. He was happy he's back home. Our children today need to see and hear that from us as dads. Hey, listen, they ain't going to be perfect. No more than you are perfect. They ain't going to be perfect because they're our children. And they learned a lot from Dad on how not to be perfect. A, they need to be available. Available. My goodness. Available. There's an 8-year-old boy who wrote about love and true love. He said, love is when Daddy reads me a bedtime story. True love is when he don't skip no pages. That's good stuff. Available. T stands for teaching. Notice in the story today in the Bible we read, the dad took the eldest son aside and used the return of the youngest son as a teachable moment. Take advantage of teachable moments because they're happening every day all around you. Whether you're on vacation, whether you're here, whether you're on the farm, teachable moments, you know. H stands for having integrity. The son knew his father could be counted on. He was a man of integrity. He knew if he went back, his dad would more than likely accept him back home. Can your child today or children count on you, Dad? Can they count on you? E stands for expressive. The father was incredibly, incredibly affectionate. The Bible says he kissed his son and wrapped him in his arms. Wrapped his arms around his son, just John, and kissed him. How many of y'all have ever been embarrassed by your children? Don't raise your hand. They may be here looking at you. But they've done something, they've said something. Sometimes when people see their small children come up to me as I'm standing back, normally I'd be standing back shaking hands. Not temporarily, not right now, but the little kids will come up and they'll be just whispering stuff in my ear, and Mom and Dad, you can just see sweat start coming out. And they're talking about fishing or something, and Mom and Dad's freaking out. Jack, they're like, what is Junior telling the preacher? What is he telling a preacher up there? And you just watch beads of sweat, Barney Goo, just start going down there, just start dripping. Never get too old to love your children. Hey, dads, if you want to keep your girls out of the arms of the wrong man, put them in yours. Put them in your arms. Give them a hug. My son's 34. I'm not good at I know the birthdays, I just don't know the numbers. 34, I think. 31. 31. He's watching at home right now going, I can't believe my dad don't know how old I am. Believe it, son. Believe it. Oh, I wrote it down. 31. Hit me. I wrote it down. Praise the Lord. There it is right there. I knew I'd forget. He'll be 31 his birthday, the 29th of the month. And guess what? He got the other day. We celebrated Father's Day on Friday night. He got a big old hug. Boy, we used to hug and wrestle and have a big time. Now he's too big to wrestle. He'll hurt me. R stands for respectful. The father was respectful of both of his son's wishes. Did you see that? He allowed the one to fail in order to learn. Sometimes, moms and dads, we have to let our children fail, as long as it's not going to physically hurt them, right? In order to learn a lesson they won't forget. Boy, I had plenty of them. And I allowed my son the opportunity to mess up a few times, and it worked. One particular instance I remember was I told him one day, I said, you know, you better be careful putting your four-wheeler behind your cab of your truck, putting it in the, I said, you hit your brakes. I mean, if somebody pulled out in front of you, you might crash your window. Yeah, he blew me off. Well, it wasn't too long after that, he come home. Katie was already in his life because she helped him tape up the glass. Come pulling in one night, he said, you got any duct tape? Well, yeah, I got duct tape. Everybody got duct tape. Went out there. I said, what happened? Yeah. Hit my brakes and went through the window. Okay. But sometimes we got to let them just do that stuff, right? Touching electric fences. You see it coming. And you're looking at them, you're going, don't do it. Don't. Ow! So what'd you learn from that? He allowed the one to fail in order to learn. He allowed the other to complain, but reaffirmed his love. Dads, don't provoke your children to make rash decisions based upon what you think. Do you hear me? Do not provoke your children to make rash decisions based upon your response. Be respectful enough to hear their side of the story. Be respectful enough to listen to them. And what they may be coming at this a whole different perspective. Don't aggravate your children. Colossians 3:21. Don't aggravate your children. You know why? The Bible says if you do aggravate your children, they'll become so discouraged they'll quit trying. They'll just quit. If you are a perfectionist and everything's got to be perfect and you've got to everything they do is wrong and you can do it better. Let me show you how to do it better. It's okay to show them how to do it better once, but not 15 times. They'll get discouraged. You know what? The next time you turn around, they ain't going to be there. They're going to quit. So, preacher, what do you think? You told us everything we shouldn't do. What do you think today kids need in America? Well, they need dads to play catch. They need dads to play catch with them. To enjoy tea parties. I can't wait for my little girl to come. Have a tea party. Have a tea party. She may want tea, may want coffee. Hopefully coffee. They need dads who can spend time with them. Kids also need a dad to laugh until their belly hurts. And tears fall from their eyes while secretly creating deep friendships and memories that last a lifetime. Dad, you need to be, you need to place an out-of-tune preschool concert or a 10-year-old's baseball game on your calendar, on life's agenda, because of the importance of who's in the game. Love at all times, because love's a gift freely given and not a reward for service well done. You don't love your kids more today because they listen to you than you do the day they don't listen to you. You love them either way. They may hurt your emotions, they may hurt your feelings, but your love don't change. It's a great picture of our Heavenly Father, isn't it? Amen. Listen eye to eye with both ears, even if it means getting down on one knee. Admit when they are wrong and work to make things right. It's okay to tell your children you're wrong. Most of all, here's what they need. They need a dad that loves the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And they know that the rest is just details. And it don't take long as you watch your children grow up. You turn around twice and you look around David and they're gone. You got one shot at it. This is the statistics I shared earlier are just that, statistics. You and your children do not have to be statistics. You can start right now where you are today. And you can build a strong relationship with your children. Well, preacher, what's riding on this? What's riding on fatherhood and to a great extent the family? Well, our future, it's time dads returned home. I'm not opposed to a dad disciplining their children. Matter of fact, I believe one of the problems is we took that away. I'm not talking about abuse. Don't you go out here and say my preacher told me I could beat you. I didn't say that. Did you know, according to David Blackhorn in his book, Fatherless America, girls who grow up without fathers are 111% more likely to have children as teenagers? 164% more likely to have a premarital birth. 92% more likely to dissolve their own marriages. That is why the best thing fathers can give their children is time. I told Daniel a long time ago, I said, no matter how big the church gets, I'll be available for you. I may not be able to talk a long time, but I'll make sure you're okay, and I may have to call you back. But the one thing I don't do when I'm counseling, I tell whoever I'm counseling with, if this phone rings and it's my son, my wife, my daughter-in-law, my mom, or my dad, I'm taking it. And you'll have to excuse me because I preach it and I'm going to practice it. And if you can't handle that, you don't need me counseling you. Because very seldom it happens, but it does happen. And Daniel doesn't know when I'm counseling. And he calls up, oh, I didn't know he was counseling. I'll talk to you at 12. And that's it. But I just want to make sure he's okay. That's a dad's responsibility. Dads is also responsible for protecting their children. And I know mamas get out there on the front line on that a lot because you mess with the mama's child. Daddy ain't got time to protect nobody. Mama done out there. Mama done got him up against the wall. But here's the good news. Here's the point. Just because God is God of the universe, that doesn't get in the way of Him being your Father. Just because He's God of the universe, that doesn't get in His way of being your daddy, your heavenly Father. He's never too busy. Even though He's got millions and millions of children that He has to govern, He's still your Father. As our Father, God makes Himself available to us. It reminds me of a story that Brother Danny kind of hit on a little bit Wednesday night. It's a typical scenario of young boys debating whose father was the best. This discussion highlighted who their fathers knew. The first boy started the debate by claiming his father knew the mayor. He was soon topped by the second boy who said, "That's nothing, my daddy knows the governor." The stakes were getting pretty high and the eavesdropping daddy wondered what his young son was going to say about him. He shot back and said this, "So what? My dad knows God." Amen. Ooh, that's good stuff. Can your kids say it about you, Dad? Can your kids say, "My dad knows God"? I've shared this story before. Boy, does it fit well. There was a special program about this young herd of male elephants. They were fighting each other, tearing down trees, knocking down the huts where the natives were living. You could say these were young elephants gone wild. Everybody in the area was trying to figure out what in the world is wrong with these elephants. What's wrong with this whole herd? They're nuts. Then they noticed something. There were no adult males in the herd. What happened to the adult males were they were shot, killed, and they harvested the ivory from their tusks. So they had all the adult male elephants gone, Tish. Wasn't none there. So without the adult bull elephants, the young teen elephants were going on a rampage. So these people conducting the study said, I know what we'll do. We'll fly some male adult bull elephants and we'll drop them right in the middle of the herd and we'll see what happens then. When these male elephants were put in a herd of teen elephants, they started flapping their ears, raising their trunks and making all kinds of sounds. They would flap their ears faster and make more distinct sounds with their trunks. After a few days of flapping their ears and sounding off with their trunks, the young elephants calmed down. They stopped being wild. Why? Because the adult bulls were present. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. As long as the young male elephants were left to themselves, they had no discipline. But with the adult bulls in the herd, they were called to order, or else they would have to deal with the bulls. What we need today in 2020 is a generation of bull elephants. We need some real men. Amen? We need some real men. I'm not talking about the one that's got strong thumbs from sitting around playing games. I'm talking about real men. Nothing wrong with that, but don't spend your whole life doing it. To deal with the teenagers who are running wild, not knowing how to act because they've never had a bull elephant in their life. I was blessed to have a daddy that was a bull. I told you at the beginning, he's my hero, still my hero, and he's still a bull. My daddy didn't have a problem taking his index finger and sticking it in my chest. He said, these are the rules, and you need to comply, because if you don't comply, there'll be another meeting. You ever seen somebody take their index finger and just guide a person? I had a buddy in Florida named Moose. He was the security guard at the bowling alley. It was a pretty rough bowling alley. I called him the bouncer at a bowling alley. And Moose was a big old boy, big man. And this guy come in there causing trouble one night, Warren. Moose took his index finger from one side of the bowling alley to the other, and the guy kept cussing Moose. And Moose was a Christian. And Moose just let him cuss, and he just backed that guy out one poke at a time till he got him to the door, shoved him out. Bull elephants. Boy, we need them. We need them bad. We need some real biblical men today. Amen. Who will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Listen, you got young people living with you, mainly your children, and you're coming to church and they ain't, that don't happen. If they living under your house, dads, you've got the right to say, I expect to see you at church. If they're driving themselves or riding with you. That's not up for debate. Y'all looking at me like you don't agree. I got you on camera, so everybody's watching you. Who will tell these disrespectful youth, you don't talk to women like that? You don't talk to your mama that way. You should open the door for them. You should carry their groceries in. You need to learn how to be respectful. These young people don't need a counselor. They don't need a therapist. They don't need a special school. They need a bull. They need a bull. One that loves God. Amen? Amen. As musicians come forward today and we close, it's interesting for us to consider what our text shows us about the father's description of his son's experience. Notice what he said. He said, the son was dead. and is now alive. He was lost, and now he's found. This is the spiritual experience of every lost sinner, folks. Every lost sinner who comes to the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Is it not? It's a great picture. Notice the parallels between the prodigal son coming to the Father and our coming to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, his Son. Watch this. He was lost. John 14, 6 says, I'm the way. He was ignorant. John 14, 6 says, I'm the truth. He was dead. Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the life. There's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through his Son, having faith in Jesus Christ. So, Dad, let me ask you, where are you? Where are you in your spiritual walk? Where are you with Jesus today? Moms, I'll ask you the same question. Young people, I'll ask you the same question. This invitation is not just for dads. It's not just for dads. It's for this whole entire, everybody watching on live stream and everybody here today. I had a dad tell me the other day, he said, I'm worried about my children. He said, I'm scared. I said to him, the best thing you can do for the time that God gives you, the rest of the time he gives you on earth, is to point your children to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Invest in that. So when they die, you can still be together in heaven. I would like for everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Just remain in an attitude of prayer.